We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoy this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Awesome. So, hey, we're going to dive right into part two of our series this Christmas. And the whole concept behind this series this Christmas is that this Christmas season, you would experience God's amazing miracle. That just as 2,000 plus years ago, we look back at the birth of Christ. And just in case you didn't know what Christmas is about, Christmas is all about Jesus. It's not really about Santa Claus. It's not about gifts, you know, it's not about all the, you know, parades and all those type of things, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. My family and I, we love all those things, but at the core of this season, it's all about Jesus. Matter of fact, that word Christmas actually means more of Christ, and so during this holiday season, I want us to experience more of Christ, so that way, as we experience more of Christ, others will be able to experience more of Christ through us. And I also hope and pray that this series would kind of challenge some things in our lives, that we would make this Christmas different than any of the other Christmases that we've had over the past few years and maybe in the course of our life. And so for many of you guys, Christmas may kind of mean different things. For some of you guys, you may have had a positive experience with Christmas growing up. And for so many of others, you may have had a negative experience with Christmas growing up. This season for some is filled with much joy and much excitement and much anticipation. People are looking forward to the holidays. They're looking forward to hanging out. And for many others, it's a time of pain. It's a time where people aren't looking forward to it. It's a time where people aren't expecting the best, but they're ultimately expecting the worst. But I believe that God is going to work through this series and even this message in particular today to set us free from some of the things that have been holding us back and some of the things that have been holding us bondage. And so I want to read out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18 is where I'm going to spend most of our time today. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, and I'll give you my sermon title in just a moment. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, it says this: "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Can I get a good amen right there? That's good news. Verse 14, "For he himself is our peace." So any person in here, you've been stressing out and you've been trying to figure out where you can get peace from, let me help you understand something. It's not going to come from a Jack Daniels bottle. Not at all. It's not going to come from lighting up a blunt. It's not going to come from snorting coke. It's not going to come from twerking on somebody. It's not going to come from having multiple sexual partners. It's not going to come from any of that type of stuff. It's only going to come from Jesus, because he is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Verse 17, two words: he came, he showed up. He arrived. That's what this Christmas season is all about. We talk about the advent, the arrival. That word advent is the Latin word for to come or to arrive. It's the arrival of Christ. Jesus came into a world that was broken. He came into a life that was hopeless, yours. He came into a dark situation that was yours. And as the light of the world, he came to bring light, but he also came, as it says here, to bring peace. He preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, that's Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So for this sermon title and for this part two of this Christmas series, I'm calling it "This Christmas, Bury the Hatchet." This Christmas, bury the hatchet. Tell the person beside you, it's time to bury the hatchet. Find somebody else who wasn't like your first choice and say, it's time to bury the hatchet. It's time to bury the hatchet. Time to bury the hatchet. You guys, when you think of the word, the phrase bury the hatchet, you kind of may have a few different thoughts that may kind of come to mind, but at the core of it, you may think of the word forgiveness. One definition for the phrase bury the hatchet is that it's an American English saying meaning to make peace or to forgive an offense. To make peace. And I don't know if you guys saw how often the word peace was mentioned in this passage of scripture that I just read. But it was, in case you weren't paying attention, in case you may have got distracted by a text message from the person that, you know, is trying to get you off track with your relationship with God, but that's a whole other message for another time. But often throughout this chapter, in particular verses 11 through 18 and 11 through 22 in particular, you see the word peace mentioned so much. And it's always attached to the person and then the work of Jesus. But in particular, it's attached to this concept of forgiveness. Now, I know that's kind of a dirty word around the Christmas time. Because this Christmas season, you were looking forward to all the sales and you were looking forward to the gifts. You were looking forward to connecting with the people that you like while dismissing the people that you have a rift with. Now, I told you 2 weeks ago when we started this series that this series was going to be a call to action. That part of us seeing this Christmas be different, it's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to just happen, oh, God, please make this Christmas a better Christmas. God's like, I can make this Christmas a better Christmas, but it's going to take you taking some steps of faith. And what I found is that oftentimes it's much easier for me to pray that God would do it without me having to put forth any type of effort whatsoever. And when it's all said and done, nothing actually changes. Not because God isn't good, not because God doesn't want to bring forth change, but God wants you and I to take the step of faith and to model what he has already modeled. So all throughout this passage of scripture, when you see the word peace, it's attached to this concept of forgiveness. This lady, woman by the name of Marianne Williamson, she says this, forgiveness is not always easy. No, it is not. And all of us should know that. It's not easy to forgive people. Like, it's hard, man. It's hard to forgive the person who said they would be there for you but left you. It's hard for you to forgive the person that you know were talking about you behind your back but then deny it to your face. It's hard to do that. It's hard to forgive the person who was supposed to be with you throughout the course of your life but they abandoned you. That's hard, man. It's hard to forgive the person that was the cause for the issue and you weren't the cause. It's hard. And so she says, forgiveness is not always easy. At times, it feels more painful than the wound we suffered. It's hard to forgive one that inflicted it. And yet, check this out, there is no peace without forgiveness. And maybe part of the reason why many of us in here, you've been praying to God for peace, and God is saying, I want you to experience the peace that I have to give you, but you have to be willing to take the step of faith to experience the peace that I want to freely give you. You have to be willing to step outside of your comfort zone and bury the hatchet. And I know this message is not going to get a whole lot of amens. Matter of fact, I was trying to figure out, like, Lord, where can I employ and insert some funny moments? Because I know this is going to be difficult. And I couldn't come up with none, so I'm praying that the Holy Spirit of God will give me some so that way y'all don't just kind of sit here and look at me like I hate you today. And why are you reading my mail? Because I got a whole lot of beef with a lot of people right now that I need to forgive. God says, in order for you to experience this peace that I want to give you, you got to forgive. And so many of us are here today. You're here and you're thinking of how that person or those people hurt you. Maybe it was a relative. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a coworker. Maybe it was a loved one. Maybe the person who hurts you, they're not even alive anymore. And you kind of just feel in bondage right now because you feel as if because they're dead, there's no way I can move past that. And seasons like Christmas oftentimes cause us to think about these moments of how relationships are strained because of things that have happened. But before we talk about this whole aspect of forgiveness, here's the question I want to ask you. And I believe that you will say yes to all these things. Aren't you ready to be healed of that? Amen. Like, aren't you tired of carrying that with you? Aren't you tired of having this burden on your heart every year? And I've seen plenty of times relationships ripped apart because of things that have happened. And nobody wants to reconcile. Because in everybody's mind, nobody did anything wrong. And let me help us understand something. Very seldom does a relationship go wrong because of one person. Very seldom. Like 5% or less of the times. More often than not, everybody played a role in some capacity. And if you're having a hard time receiving what I just said, that proves my points. Because in your mind, you're like, I didn't do nothing wrong. You're the problem. And God is trying to get you out of that. Well, why can't they just let it go? Why don't you just let it go? Amen. Why can't they just forgive? Have you? Amen. Right? Like, a lot of times what happens is we become great prosecutors of other people, but awesome defense attorneys of ourselves. This boy's preaching good. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Like we're good at defending our own stuff while prosecuting others. And God is like, hold on. Before you look at the issues with others and how the relationship went bad because of all that they did, I want you to take a step back and look at your own sin. Matter of fact, Jesus will say it like this. He says, how will you point out the speck in your brother or sister's eye and miss the plank in your own? Some of you guys may not have been here, but I did a sermon a few months back called Logs and Specks, or Planks and Specks, and I had this big old log and this big old plank and a small piece of speck of sawdust. And Jesus says, you criticizing that person because of a small speck of sawdust in their eye, and you got a log in your own. Such is the same when it comes to this aspect of forgiveness. Now, by all means, I'm not dismissing the fact that that person may have deeply wounded you. And they may be responsible for a lot of the hurt that has occurred. But you know what you're responsible for? You're responsible for making peace. That's where you come in. That's where it is. So I ask the question, are you ready to be healed? Do you desire to see the relationship restored? Do you desire for your family to be whole? You know how this happens? This happens by burying the hatchet, by making peace, by forgiving other people. And this all brings us to Ephesians chapter 2, because here in Ephesians chapter 2, which is one of the clearest sections of scripture that give us a picture of how our lives were prior to Christ entering in. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to these believers in this area called Ephesus under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he paints this gloomy picture of how our lives were before Christ came in. Matter of fact, it's very parallels perfectly what the season of Christmas represents. Because when Jesus came into the world, he came into a world that was dark. He came into a world that was broken. Matter of fact, the manger, which was a feeding trough, it wasn't this pretty thing that you see on all these different Christmas cards where it was all lit up and all this type of stuff. It was dark, and it smelled, and it was nasty. Jesus came to that place to bring light and wholeness out of that place. And that's a perfect example of what Paul is saying here all throughout the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I would encourage you guys to go back and read it, because for the first half of chapter 2, Paul is just landing on thick, talking about how we were dead in our transgressions, how because of our sinfulness, we deserved the wrath of God. But at the same time, Paul helps us to see how beautiful our lives become when Christ enters into our lives. And so for those of us who are Christians, you're followers of Christ, you're a disciple of Christ, whatever, same thing, think about how your life was prior to Christ entering in. Think about like how dark your life was, how hopeless your life was, how twisted your life was, how trifling your life was. Think about how that was prior to Jesus entering in. When I begin to think about how I was prior to Christ coming in, it is not good. And if I could be real about it, if I could think about how my life was even after Christ came in, because he's still working things out of me, man, thank God for his grace. Because it doesn't mean that because Jesus came into my life and he saved me of my sins and my iniquity and made me alive in himself and restored my relationship with God the Father, it doesn't mean that all my problems have gone away. It doesn't mean that all my issues haven't gone away. It just simply means now he's working them out of me. He's making me more like Jesus. But when Jesus comes into your life, from the very outset, there's going to be a noticeable difference. You should be able to see that there was a difference between your life before Christ, B.C., and after Christ. There should be a difference. And Paul is helping us see that picture. that when Christ stepped in our life was forever transformed, that Jesus takes us from death to life. Jesus makes us new. But in verses 11 through 12 of Ephesians chapter 2, this is kind of where we kind of pick up. Notice what Paul says. He says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ. Here's what Paul is doing. He's brilliant in what he's doing. He's reminding them, hey, remember how your life was before Christ came in. You were no good. You were on your way to hell. You were separated from God. Remember that. Because now when you begin to remember how your life was before Christ came in, and now you begin to see how your life is now that Christ is in here, you should now want to live a life that honors him and live a life that is for him. Because you understand that he didn't have to do anything that he did. So in these remaining verses, all throughout verses 13 through 18, Paul is helping us see even more of what Jesus did for us. Paul says things like in early part of chapter 2 that we were deserving of wrath, which means this, that you should have got what you deserve, and what you deserve was to be eternally separated from God because of your sin. No person in here is free from the bondage that sin caused. No person. And all of us have sinned, and sinned very well. But you know why Jesus came into the world? Matter of fact, we preached this scripture last week. 1 Timothy 1:15 says it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know who that is? All of us. That's why this season is good. That's why this is a good news season. You may not have a whole lot of gifts under the tree, but it's not about the gift that was under the tree. It's about the gift that was on the tree, and his name is Jesus. That's what this season is all about. That's what Paul is trying to help the believers understand here in Ephesus. And he's laying this foundation for all the things that he's going to say throughout the latter part of this chapter and for the next few chapters as well. So notice here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul uses these words like Gentile, those who were far from God, and by birth they were called uncircumcised. Now the reason why this is important is because in that day and time you had two classifications of people. You were either a Jew, which means that you were pure-blooded Jew, or you were a Gentile, which simply means in plain language you weren't a Jew. That's how they classified you. You were either a Jew or you weren't a Jew. You were a Gentile. And the Jews looked at Gentiles as unclean. In other words, they said it like this. If you ain't one of us, you ain't no good for nothing. Because we're God's holy and chosen people. They thought that because God established a covenant with them, that excluded them from everybody else. No, they missed it. God wanted to use the children of Israel, the Jewish people, to bring forth the Messiah, which is exactly what happened. Paul's trying to help them understand something, that this Jew and Gentile divide, this racial tension, that's what it was. It was a racial tension. And as a matter of fact, the racial tension that existed back in the first century and even before that between Jew and Gentile makes the racial tension of today look like elementary school. It was nothing compared to what it was back then. Nothing at all. Not one bit. Now, I've heard plenty of people say, man, we are living in the worst times ever. Really? Really? Seriously? I don't think so. Now, I'm not saying we don't got a long way to go, but we've come a mighty long way. Some of you guys who have lived prior to my age, and when I was born in the mid-80s, you lived through the civil rights era. You can testify, it ain't as bad as it used to be. They had bathrooms for different types of people. This racial tension right here will blow all that type of stuff out the water. It was bad, man. It was bad. And it speaks of the lack of peace and the lack of forgiveness and the tension that existed between two groups of people. And just as there was a divide between Jew and Gentile, I also believe that there's probably a divide in your life right now. That you got some hostility towards some people in your life. There's certain family members you don't even want to talk to right now. Like you making plans for dinner, you don't even plan on calling them. Let's keep it 100, right? Right? Like you got certain friends, you know, all y'all kind of hang out, but you don't want to invite them because you don't got to, you know. Yeah. Right? It's hostility there. And the more you ignore it, the more pain it's going to cause you and everybody else around you. But here's the good news. The good news is that even in the midst of this Jew and Gentile divide that existed in this first century and even before that, God did something to ratify that, to speak to that, to minister to that, to restore this very thing. And I believe that the same thing that God did for that generation, and that he's done now in making Jew and Gentile one body, as you kind of see here in Ephesians chapter 2, into what we know as now the church, the body of Christ, Jesus wants to do the same exact thing in your life right now. The people that you haven't spoken to in years, man, Jesus wants to restore that relationship. The pain and the resentment that you have towards somebody, he wants to heal you of that. The people that you're hoping that you won't see this holiday season, God wants to bring forth healing so your perspective shifts from I don't want to see them to I can't wait to see them because I want to share the gospel with them. So that's big boy Christianity. See, like kiddie table Christianity says, I'm cool with you as long as you're cool with me. Big boy Christianity is this. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's big boy stuff right there. That's what Jesus has called us to. And matter of fact, isn't that what Jesus did for us? Scripture says it like this, that we were enemies of God, but yet he still loved us. Which leads me to my first point when it comes to burying the hatchet. When it comes to burying the hatchet, from this text, here's what we see. We first see the reason to bury the hatchet. Verse 13 says it like this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You who were once far away, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. And if you don't really study that verse and really meditate on that verse, you'll just read it over and just not even understand the power of it. You were far from God, and you had no way to get back into a relationship with God on your own. You had no hope. You were hopeless. Matter of fact, Paul says it like this. You were without God in the world. He was not in your life. You hated God. You did everything against his word. You were far from him. But God brought you close to him through the blood of his son, Jesus. You know what Paul is helping us see? God buried the hatchet with you. That's what God did. He brought you close to him through the blood of his son, Jesus. That's what this Christmas season is all about. It's about God coming to us because we had no way to get to God. It's Jesus saying, if I don't step out of heaven and come to earth, they will have no opportunity to go from earth to heaven. So because of my great love for them, because of my great love for them, even in the midst of all the heinous and nasty and terrible and trifling and ugly and nasty and terrible things that they've done, because of my great love for them, I don't want to have heaven without them because I love them so much. It's the reason. It's the reason why we bury the hatchet. Verse 17, it even says this, that Jesus came to do what? He preached peace. He came to bring peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. He's talking about those who were Jew and Gentile because the Gentiles were not a part of the family of God. They were excluded, and Paul's helping them understand that, hey, you guys are not unclean anymore because you have been made whole by the blood of Christ, and you are now just as a part of the family of God as those who were Jew and trusted Jesus with their faith as well. There is no difference. We see the reason to bury the hatchet. The reason to bury the hatchet is because Jesus buried the hatchet with us. Matter of fact, here's what verse Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 through chapter 5, verse 2 says. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Why? Now, if we just stop there, most of us will be off the hook for forgiving. But notice what Paul continues to say. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. You want to know the reason why you and I have to make peace with people? It's because God made peace with us through his son, Jesus. That's why. And there's no way in the world I can call myself a Christian and still hold a grudge towards people. Because the greatest debt that was owed was not what that person did to me or what they owe to me. It's what I owe to God because of my own sin. And you know what God did? He paid it for me through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus. So Paul says, I want you to forgive. Not because you like the person. I want you to forgive because God forgave you. That's what he's saying. And then notice what else he says. Follow God's example, therefore. You know what it means to forgive? When we forgive people, we are providing an example for people to see of the forgiveness of God. When you forgive that person that you know wronged you and did you dirty and touched you inappropriately or did some things to you that were just heinous and hurtful, when you forgive that person, do you not know what kind of example and what kind of witness that communicates to that person? How can you forgive me for the terrible thing that I did to you? Because God forgave me for the terrible thing that I did to him. And you know what happened? People will want to begin to hear about this God that you talk about. Because you forgave. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know what the fuel for your forgiveness toward others is? God's grace towards you. That is the fuel. And understanding the depth of God's forgiveness towards you will determine the depth of your forgiveness towards others. The only reason why we will have an issue forgiving others is because we don't understand how God forgave us. This is something that God matured me on a few years ago. He says, Edwin, how you do realize that I forgave you of all your iniquity and all of your sin, past, present, and future. So why are you holding this grudge towards this person when I've set you free? You do realize that by you not forgiving Edwin, you're putting yourself back in the prison that I already set you free from. And many of us in here think that by us withholding forgiveness, that it's us protecting ourselves. No, no, no. You're locking yourself up in prison. Even though Jesus has already opened the door wide open for you to walk out. He's already set you free. And many of us in here today, man, you're harboring some bitterness in your heart. You're harboring some resentment in your heart right now because of people who weren't there for you, because of people who lied to you, because of people who cheated on you, because of people who talked bad about you. And God is saying, are you ready to be set free from it? Are you ready to move past that this Christmas? Because you can move past it. How can I be sure that I can move past it? Because I look past your sin because I saw you as my son. I saw you as my daughter, dripped in the blood of my son, Jesus. That's how I can move past it. And God says, if you have this forgiveness in your heart now, you got to do the same. That's the reason why we did it. Here's what God is saying to us plainly. You need to make peace with the person that you've held a grudge with for years, whether they're living or deceased. How do I make peace with the person who's deceased, man? Do something crazy. Go to their gravesite. If you can't go to their gravesite, man, people may think you crazy. Have a conversation with them as if they're there. And tell them, I forgive you for what you did to me. Now, granted, that person is not obviously going to come back. They ain't Jesus. They ain't coming back. But you know what it does for you? It sets you free. And many of us in here, man, you are so close to forgiving. That person is one phone call away. One phone call away. One Starbucks meetup away. One invite away. God is calling us, make peace with them, man. Because until you make peace with them, you'll never have peace yourself. You need to make peace with them. While you're holding on to it, it's holding on to you. And here's the reality I want you to understand. No one can ever offend you the way you've offended God already. No one. You think they've grieved you? You grieve God times infinity. But yet, because of God's grace for you, he's looked past it because of his son, Jesus. Which is why Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. That all this is from God, how God has made us into a new creature through Jesus, who reconciled us to himself. Reconciled. You see, scripture constantly uses this word reconciled, which simply means to restore a relationship, to bring peace to a relationship. He reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Why? Because he counted our sins against Christ. That's what he did. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And every time I preach that scripture and read that scripture, I get excited because what it says is that I didn't deserve the righteousness of God, but God gave it to me because he loved me. That's the reason why I got to forgive. I don't forgive you because of the fact that you didn't do that bad of an act towards me. No, I forgive you because of the great act that Jesus did for me. That's it. And I'm going to be real with you. If it weren't for Jesus, I wouldn't forgive you. And I say that jokingly, but I'm saying that serious. Because Jesus forgave me for my past, present, and future. You struggling with forgiving a person for that one or two time thing that they did to you. And Jesus is like, really? I'm forgiving you for the stuff that you don't even know you're going to do. Yeah. I forgave you for that cuss word that ain't nobody here. I forgave you for the blunt that you're going to smoke. I forgave you for that. So that way you wouldn't have to return back to it. I forgave you. And if Jesus can forgive me and bury the hatchet with me, we are called to do the same. As believers, for those of us who are Christ followers, you're a Christian, it is your Christian mandate to extend grace and forgiveness to others. Why? Because the King of all kings has extended forgiveness and grace to you. How crazy does it say? And look, for me as a believer to say, I've received the forgiveness of God, but don't extend that to others. That's what our church is all about. Our church vision is to see people reconciled to God and to one another. You know how that happens? By us extending the grace of God, the message of Christ, which is the forgiveness of God, to other people. And I know many of us, man, we don't want to do that. That's uncomfortable. But here's the good news, man. God will give you the grace to do it. If you're struggling with forgiving somebody right now, here's what I want you to do. I literally want you to pray this prayer. And if you got to pray it right now, pray it. I want you to pray it all week. God, I'm struggling to forgive this person. So help me to understand how much you've forgiven me. Because when you get clarity of how much God has forgiven you, it will empower you to be able to forgive others. This Christmas doesn't have to be the Christmas where all the family is all split up and everything like that. It's time for you to make peace. And I hear what some of us are saying, but I wasn't the cause. No, but you're the reason why I'm staying there. You may not be the cause for how it happened, but you're part of the cause as to why no restoration is happening. You ain't making peace. Invite them over to your house. Talk to them. Meet with them. Why don't you apologize to them? Say something like this, man, for anything that I've ever done, man, I apologize. I want us to move forward. I want us to have a good relationship. I want us to know one another. That's what God's calling us to this Christmas. Here's the last thing. We bury the hatchet because of we have a good reason to bury the hatchet, which is what Jesus has done for us. But then also from this text, we see the results of burying the hatchet. Verse 14, notice what verse 14 says. It says this, for he himself is our peace who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Here's what Jesus did, not just for us, but with Jesus' sacrifice, his death on the cross, through his shed blood for the sins of the world, and through his resurrection life. Here's what that does. It not only saves us to God, but it reconciles and repairs relationships horizontally. So that's why Paul says here that Jesus destroyed the dividing wall of hostility that existed between Jew and Gentile, and through his body, he created one new humanity called the church. Called the people of God, which is not determined based upon ethnicity, which is not determined based upon age, which is not determined based upon your economic makeup. It's determined based upon the blood of Christ Jesus. That's what it's determined off of. That's where it finds its foundation. And because of what Jesus has done, the result was Jew and Gentile are now considered brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, just to give you guys some context, in the first century world, this was madness. Because everybody knew Jews and Gentiles didn't get along. And so now to the watching world, when they're seeing, hold on, you got black people, white people, Asian people, Jewish people, Latino people. You got all these people, older people, younger people, poor people, rich people. And they all worshiping together. They all doing life together. How does this happen? Through the blood of Jesus, and only through the blood of Jesus. Only through the blood of Jesus. Christ is the one who unites us. Christ is the one who bridges the gap. Here's what verse 18 says. For through him, being Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Who's Paul talking about here? Who's we both? He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. He says, guys, we're all one big family. We're all one big family. I know Pookie and Ray messed you up, and I know they lied to you, and I know they stole that money from you, but we're all one big family because they are redeemed by the blood of Christ through their faith in Jesus too. I know you may not like that person that's sitting next to you right now, church in Ephesus and people of Ephesus, but here's the reality. Jesus shed his blood for them as well. And they're made new just like you're made new. And it's interesting because those people who were once enemies have now become friends. They've now become family. What does burying the hatchet do? It restores our relationship with God, but it also makes possible the restoration of relationships with others. When you bury the hatchet with the people that you have animosity with and have animosity towards right now, when you bury the hatchet with those people right now that you're not getting along with, it makes it possible for that relationship to now be reconciled. I say it like this. When we bury the hatchet, it provides the opportunity for the love of God to collide with the lives of others. Jesus came to bring us peace, not just for us personally, but for us relationally. And when you bury the hatchet with other people, it makes possible for reconciliation to happen. Forgiveness may happen with one person, but reconciliation happens with two. Both parties have to come in agreement. But you know how that starts? It starts with one saying, I'm willing to look past this. It starts with one. How do we know that? Because that's what God did for us. We were never going to say it to him. He said it to us, I'm willing to forgive you. I didn't do anything wrong. You sinned against me, but I forgave you of it. And because of his great love towards us, it made it possible for us to now enter into a relationship with him and enter into a relationship with others. Such as the same with the people right now. So you have some beef right now with some people in your life. God's calling you. It's time for you to forgive them. Because that relationship, it can be restored. But it will never be restored as long as you continue to think that it can't be restored. That person that you're not getting along with right now, that person, that relationship, it can change. But it will never change as long as you think that it can't change. That's the change. It can change. And it can change by the grace and by the power and by the mercy and by the love and by the blood of Christ Jesus. And I could tell this is a good message right now because we are so quiet and nobody's saying nothing. God is really doing a work on the inside of us. And here's what I pray that it leads to this Christmas holiday. I pray that it leads to you calling that person that you haven't talked to in years. I pray that it leads to you talking to that person that you just said you would never speak to them another day in your life. I pray that it leads to you reconciling people to one another. I pray that it leads to us getting off of our high horse and thinking that we don't have to forgive, because when we look back at what God has done for us, we have every reason to forgive. Here's a story I want to share with you guys. I'm not going to read it all the way through, but in Luke chapter 15, it's the story about this guy. He's a prodigal son. It's oftentimes called the story of the prodigal son. And this son, he leaves home, but he tells the father before he leaves home, he says, give me all of my inheritance. And back in those days and times, in the Jewish world, in that culture, in that custom, you only got your inheritance when the father passed away. But the father was still alive, and he went and asked for him. You know what he's saying? I'm dead to you. You're worth nothing to me. Just give me my inheritance. You know what the father does? He actually gives him the inheritance. And the scripture actually goes on to say that this son, he spent all that he had, all the inheritance, on wild and reckless living. He spent it on prostitutes. He spent it doing this. He spent it doing that. Then he found himself hitting a rock bottom, sleeping with pigs, eating slop. And he came to his senses one day, and he says, why am I suffering like this? And why have I sinned against my father, who's really done nothing for me except the greatest things for me? He's provided for me. He's protected me. He says, I'm going to go home. I'm going to apologize to my dad. I'm going to tell him I've sinned against God, and I've also sinned against you. And the scripture says that he made his way to home. And as he's making his way to home, before he even gets home, the father runs to him. He meets him, which means this, that the father was always waiting for him to come back home. And before the son even crosses the threshold of that house, the father meets him in the field. And back in that time, in that custom, for a father to run out into the field was one of the most undignified things that you could do. You know what that communicates to us? That the father was willing to get so dirty just to get his son back. And you know what happened when the son came back? The son apologized. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. You know what the father says? You're my son. He tells all his servants, go get the fattened calf. Go get the robe. Go get the ring because you're my son. Notice what the father doesn't do. He doesn't hold what the son did against him. He doesn't say, I told you so. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I tried to tell you, son, that was going to happen. He doesn't say any of that. Matter of fact, he doesn't even ask, son, what did you do with the resources that I gave you? Because he didn't care nothing about that. He cared about the relationship, which is what God cares about the most, and which is what God cares about the most in your own life. And that story was a picture of God's love towards us, and it also is a story and a picture of our love and how it should be towards others. You know what? I don't care what you did, man. I'm not ignoring it. I know it happened, and it hurts. But you know what? God forgave me. I'm going to forgive you. And the result was the son came back home and was restored to his rightful place. Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. When you begin to bury the hatchet in your life with people that you have animosity towards right now and you got some tension with right now, I'm not promising that the relationship will be repaired. Because I'm going to be real, it's not always going to be repaired. But what I can promise you is this: you make possible for the relationship to be repaired. But as long as you continue to harbor bitterness and resentment towards your father, towards your mother, towards your cousin, towards your family, towards your relatives, that relationship will never be restored, and you will stay in the bondage that you've been in year after year. And you can act like it doesn't bother you. You think about it all the time. It's running through your mind all the time. During the Christmas season, it's like it gets louder and it gets louder. And God's like, there's a way to silence the noise. And the way to silence the noise is to bury the hatchet. And once you bury the hatchet, at that point, it's not on you anymore what that person does. Because you've done what God called you to do. And the result is, the relationship has now been made possible to be restored. Band, you guys can come on up. I'm closing. I want to close with you with this thought, and I want you to meditate on this. For those of us in here who are Christians, people of God, you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. God has called you to forgive people. He's called you to bury the hatchet. And why does he expect you to do that? Because that's what he did for you. That's what he did for you. He buried the hatchet with you. The light's real bright up here, but I'm trying to look every person in the eye right now. That's what he did. So what bitterness right now are you holding in your heart? Because really what you don't understand is it's holding you hostage. God says, aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? But God, I didn't do anything. Extend grace. But God, they hurt me more than I hurt them. Forgive them. Love them. Bury the hatchet. But God, it's so difficult to move past it. It's not difficult to move past it when you understand how I move past your sin. And for me personally, the more I dive into God's grace for my life and how much sin he's forgiven me of, it really truly does become the fuel for me to forgive others. Because forgiveness is hard. It's not easy. I'm by all means, do not misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. How do I know it's hard? Because Jesus suffered and bled for your forgiveness. That's hard. He died for you. That's hard. He suffered for you. That's hard. Scripture says he was beat beyond recognition. That's hard. But he did it because he loves you. He set you free. And so is it dirty work to forgive? Yes, it is. Is it hard to do in your own strength? Yes, it is. But by the power of Christ, by the grace of God, his grace is sufficient. And I cannot wait to see the harvest in your life when you actually begin to put what I'm saying into action. And not even what I'm saying, but what God is saying. That just as the Jew and Gentile divide was just destroyed because of the forgiveness of Christ, the divide that exists in your life can begin to be destroyed. But God wants to work through your obedience to forgive. So I'm going to ask this with every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to give you this moment. Because I believe many of us here are harboring bitterness and resentment towards people. You put on a great poker face. You smile like ain't nothing wrong. You hurting on the inside. Stop putting up a front. Stop faking it. I don't care how tough you look on the outside. You're weeping on the inside. You're broken. You're hurting. It's time for you to be honest about it. God is speaking to you this morning. He's saying, you can experience the peace that surpasses all understanding when you trust in the one who is the Prince of Peace. And when you begin to extend that grace and that forgiveness towards that other person, when you begin to bury that hatchet, you can be set from this prison that you've put yourself in because of the pain you've been harboring. And I know for many of us, this was a very sensitive topic. Tears are flowing. Like God just read your mail. But the only reason God is bringing this to your attention is because he loves you and cares about you. And he cares about the people that are closest to you. He cares about the people that you care about. He cares about the people who are around you. And he says, I want to set you free in such of a way where there is no more animosity. That's what it's about. So in this moment, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to ask God, God, would you help me to forgive? Would you help me to bury the hatchet? Would you help me? Remind me of how much you've forgiven me. Remind me of how you set me free. Some of you need to forgive that father who left you, who hurt you. You need to forgive that mother who wasn't there for you. You need to forgive that person that you're in a relationship with for the wound that they inflicted. You need to forgive that friend who went back on their word, caused you a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. Relationship hasn't been right since. God is saying it can be restored, but it starts with you. Because this Christmas, we're not going to hold any more grudges. This Christmas, we're not going to carry around bitterness in our heart anymore. We're not going to carry around animosity in our heart anymore. We will make peace with those who've hurt us. We will not hold grudges with people for the things that happened days ago or even years ago. This Christmas, we bury the hatchet because that's what Jesus did for us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person here who's carrying around hurt, bitterness, frustration, pain that they've suppressed year after year, month after month, holiday after holiday, I pray that today that you have brought it to the surface. And I pray that as you have brought it to the surface today, that you would smooth it out with your grace and that you would empower us in such of a way where we now begin to extend grace to people, where we forgive those who have hurt us, where we bury the hatchet with those who have taken advantage of us, those who have lied to us, those who have cheated on us, whatever the harm that has been caused towards us. God, today we bury the hatchet because, Lord, you buried the hatchet with us through your son, Jesus. And we thank you, God, for your redeeming and loving and forgiving grace. In Jesus' name. And while every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning, let me help you understand something. You would never be able to bury the hatchet with others until you first believe that Jesus has buried the hatchet for you. Until you receive his grace, you would never be able to extend this grace to others. You would never be able to forgive others until you have first received the forgiveness of Christ. And today he wants to extend that to you. Today he wants you to receive that. And so if that's you and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I realize that I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've sinned against God so many times. I was that prodigal son. I was that one who wandered away. I was the one who was living recklessly before God. I was the one who was sinning against God. I was that one who was lying. I was that one who was cussing. I was that one who was cheating. I was that one who was having sex outside of wedlock. I was that one who was doing all these type of things. And I realized I need your grace, and I thank you, God, that you're gracious towards me. And he says, hey, I just care about you. I want a relationship with you. And I'll forgive you of every sin. All you have to do is receive it by faith. So if that's you this morning, you're saying, I want Christ in my life, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving me. I believe that you're my Lord, and I believe that you're my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you raised to life so that I could have a new life and so that I could be forgiven. I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done this morning. Come on. Come on, we can do better than that. For how Jesus has buried the hatchet. Amen. So here's what I want us to do. Two things. Number one, everybody pull out that worship guide that we gave you when you walked in. If you prayed that prayer, you gave Christ your life this morning. You prayed that prayer saying, Jesus, I want you to save me from my sin. I believe that you died for me. If you prayed that prayer with me.